And it's going to work, right? Yeah, we're okay. And we got such a small group here, there's no need in being all. You know, I remember hearing a story one time about a preacher went to go this out in the ranching land to go and preach a big revival, and they had a big tent meeting. And the preacher's there, and the choir's there, everybody's there, but there's one rancher shows up for this deal. And a rancher's sitting right there on the front row, and preacher comes and said, "Well, you know, it's time to start, but you're the only one here. You know, what do you think I should do?" And the rancher says, "Well, you know, if I went out to go feed my cows and only one cow showed up, I'd feed that cow." Okay. So they got on, man. They got the music going and they're singing and, you know, pass the plate, you know. And then that preacher got up there and he preached and hellfire and brimstone. And at the end, you know, preacher mops his brow and says, "Well, what do you think about that sermon?" The rancher said, "Well, you know, if I went out to go feed my cows and only one cow showed up, I'd feed that cow, but I don't think I'd give him the whole load of hay." Cassie's heard that one before, right? So, how was you guys this week? Yeah?
Yeah. I lost my cat this morning, but he came back.
Oh, it came back?
Yeah.
He was like better traveling.
Yeah, he traveled far.
With our guardian dog.
Like, oh my gosh.
He's a tomcat, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he pretty mean?
No, he's very sweet. He's cool.
Sometimes tomcats have to be pretty tough, you know, because they're.
Yeah.
All over him.
He's a cuddler.
Oh, yeah?
He was cuddly ever since he was a kitten. So
he's what?
He was cuddly when he was a kitten.
Oh.
Back.
Oh, really? He doesn't scratch you when you rub his belly?
No.
Huh.
He likes it. He was the runt, but he's the best one.
Cool.
He's bigger than the other ones, too.
Somehow.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's get started here. Let me pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity to get together and to learn about you and to be able to read your word and to try to come to a better understanding of you and your will in our lives, and just ask you to be with us as we proceed, that we would hear what you would want us to hear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, our scripture today is in 1 Corinthians 11:21, I think. Where does it start? First Corinthians 11:17. It's really fast when you got it on your phone, huh? But I prefer to read it myself. Sometimes, I like my study Bible, because, you know, you've got the commentaries and stuff down here. If you don't really understand some of what it's saying, or, you know, or it'll take and refer you to some of the history, or refer you to some of the other verses that say the same, you know, or talk about the same subject. So
I have a study Bible at home, but it's really big, so I don't bring it to church.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it would fit inside your little thing there with everything else you carry. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 11:17, we're talking about conduct during the Lord's Supper, which is kind of a good subject or pertinent, because today we're going to practice communion. So, but in verse 17 it says, "Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse." So part of what Paul is doing here, he's setting them up for, okay, I'm fixing to take and teach you guys something. You're doing something wrong, you know. So he's setting the stage for some correction, for not doing things right. It says, "For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What, don't you have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. You've got on your phone there, can you, real quick, change that and read that in the NIV? Read verses 18 through 21. So what they're talking about here, like if we go back to, like say, Matthew 26, where the Lord's Supper was first commissioned, when Christ first, with the disciples, they, broke the bread and had the wine, it was a Passover meal. The disciples and Christ had come together in the upper room to celebrate the Passover. So they had their big meal and stuff there. And then after they had their meal, then that's when Christ said, he broke the bread, this is my body. And what the Corinthians have been doing, they'd been kind of following that same format, in that when they had communion, when they had the Lord's Supper, they would come together and have a big meal. And this had kind of degenerated to the point that some of these people that were coming in, they brought their food from home. And they would have this big meal, they have a big feast. And some of them would just take and eat a lot of food. And some of them actually got drunk. That's just like, ooh, that's abhorrent for them to have and get drunk when they're getting ready to celebrate the Lord. And they had lost focus on the purpose of the Lord's Supper. And additionally, as when it says here, one is hungry and another is drunk, this was creating factions or different cliques of people where, some of the people that say they were, maybe they're wealthy, they had a lot of food, or they were certain social standing, they'd go over here and they'd go over there and sit at that table right there, and they'd eat their food, while other people that maybe didn't have as much food would sit over here, and they would sit over there and they'd go hungry while they watched these guys. And these people over here was kind of sitting like, yeah, see how much better we are than you. We got all this nice food. Look how finely we're dressed. And so it was creating a deal where some people thought they were better than others. And sort of a discrimination type thing where, they're discriminating. And that's totally wrong. That's not what God wants us to do, right? God wants us to accept everybody and everybody is equal. And additionally, what a part of was wrong with this is they were not to come together. The purpose of this coming together for the Lord's Supper was what? Why do we come together and celebrate communion?
Remember what Jesus did on the cross.
Yeah. Yeah, it's to remember and honor Christ. And it's not honoring to Christ for them to just come and have a big feast. That's not a part of the memory. Part of the memory is that he died on a cross and shed his blood for our sins, right? So, in verse 22, you want to read verse 22 for me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did, but we're going to read it again. Okay. I want to hear it in her voice. Right, and because, you know, so what is Paul telling them there, do you think?
So he's not going to get them praised for doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, and he's telling them maybe if you want to have a feast or, you know, you've got your own home, you could have a big meal at home before you come here, right? Don't have to skip your meal and come in and show off in front of all these other people and turn this into a gluttony feast. I mean, this is about remembering Christ, right? Then in verse 23 in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And one of the things I really like there about that verse is the very first part, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." It's a big part of the way Paul teaches, he's always talking about his personal testimony. You know, Paul's not saying somebody over there said this and told me about this, so I shared it. Paul is giving his personal testimony about his relationship with Christ. He personally received from Christ teaching and learning about what God's will was in his life and in our lives. And God was, and Paul was sharing that to us from his point of personal testimony. You know, it's like you talking about something that, what do you like to do at, you know, what's one of your hobbies?
RC cars.
Huh?
RC cars.
Arts and cards.
No, RC cars, racing cars.
Oh, okay. All right. And you, because you are personally involved in that, you could take and share with me and tell me a lot about it, right? But if I'm not personally involved with that, how good a job do you think I could do in telling you about it? Pretty darn poor, huh? Yeah. And that's the way we are to share our relationship with Christ. We share about our personal experience. If I'm talking to somebody at work about Christ and what Christ has can do for them, I'm not going to tell them, says, "Cassia told me about how Christ has done this in her life and how about Christ does, you know." That doesn't have a whole lot of impact, does it? The way that I should and that you should, you know, share Christ is about your personal experience, about your personal experience in dealing with Christ. I'm going to tell them, says, "I had this situation in my life. It's different from the situation you have, but here's what happened in my life. I had this happen, and I was broken, and I went to Christ, and I asked Christ to heal me. And Christ answered my prayer." That kind of testimony, that kind of sharing is what is effective when you're dealing with, you know, wanting to share Christ. It's not going to take and be anywhere near as there. Sometimes, you know, you might be able to share and say, "Well, I have a friend who is in sin," you know, because maybe you don't have a personal experience with going through whatever's going through this friend's life. Maybe this friend just lost somebody important to them. And if you haven't had that happen, but you know somebody else that did. "Well, my sister had that happen, and this is how my sister handled it." And you can share that example, but but you still need to throw in your personal testimony. And that's throughout throughout the epistles. When you read about Paul, look for that and kind of be aware of this is what the way Christ or the way that Paul relates to people. When he's sharing Christ, he's sharing his personal experience. So many times he gives his testimony. Does that make sense? Y'all ever been in that position before? How many? Huh?
A few times.
Yeah, several times where you shared your personal testimony?
I didn't do it very well because it hasn't happened like recently. It was more when I was like less comfortable talking to people.
Right.
So
yeah?
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us about it, Denny? Is that something you would like to share?
I don't know.
You don't have to share details or anything, but just a little bit more, maybe?
Well, I guess the most, like the most recent one, I kind of, regret, because there was one that happened, more recent, but I didn't want to, too deeply into it because this person isn't super fond of religion in any way.
Right.
So I just kind of gently mentioned how about God in it, and they were just okay. But I didn't want to go too
didn't go very deep into it
because they're very touchy with religion and uh-huh. stuff. So I didn't want to be too aggressive with talking about God, especially
right.
when Yeah. But I did mention it.
Okay. And one of the things I heard you say there that I really like, gentle. You felt like you need to be gentle with them. It's like, I don't think that God wants us to go out there and stand on a street corner with a 2x4 and whack people across the head to get their attention. You know, he wants us to be gentle. And sometimes just a little gentle introduction says, well, you know, God has a real plan for your life, and I'll pray for you. Maybe that's the only part that you feel comfortable saying, but that's going to click in their brain, maybe, and at some point later on says, Cassie told me God has a plan for my life, and I feel lost. I wonder what that plan is. And they might go to somebody else that's near them and say, you seem to be somebody who loves God or talks about God. Tell me what kind of plan God has. Or that person may just come back to Cassia. Call Cassia. Hey, Cassia. You know, when you plant a seed, you don't know how long down the road it may be before that seed starts to sprout a little bit. And hopefully there'll be somebody there to water that seed and get some sunshine on it. So, thank you. Thanks for sharing that. And what about you? Have you had any recent times of sharing with anybody? Or, yeah?
All of my friends are Christian, and I was homeschooled, so.
Uh-huh.
And we don't go out too often, so. Not really.
Yeah. Sometimes we're just in a time of strengthening and planning and stuff too. It's like Cassie and I went to first service, and the teaching and stuff in there was about how this one king, when he took over in Judah, that there was a long time, 10 years of peace with no wars or anything. But during that 10 years of peace, the king, Asa, spent a lot of time, was able to build a big army and to strengthen his defenses. And sometimes when we're not at battle, when we're not going, it's the time for us to be in the Word and to become stronger and to strengthen ourselves for further battles, because there's going to be a battle sooner or later. You know, there will be a time that you will, you know, and you don't know when it's going to be. You just need to be ready for it. Now, you may, you know, just randomly start talking to a friend, and this friend starts crying, says, "Oh, I'm, you know, this." Or you may have a friend say, "I'm thinking about doing something really bad. You know, I don't know what to do." And if you've prepared yourself, you can be there for them and help guide them. So that's good. Oh, would you like to read verses 25 through 27? Okay, so again, what Paul is doing here, he's giving an example of what the appropriate Lord's Supper is. It's not the feasting and the gluttony. It's not the getting drunk. It's not some over here in one part and some over here in another part. It's not some looking down on others. It's about in remembrance of me, right? In remembrance of Christ. And who wants to read 28 through 32? Okay. Yeah, whichever version you're more comfortable reading. Okay, so what do you think does it mean to examine yourself?
To just like step back and like look at yourself from a new perspective, because Gary always uses like the thing of being in a forest but always looking at one tree.
Mm-hmm.
Step back and look at the whole like forest. It's kind of like that, just like looking at yourself from a new perspective.
Okay, that's good. That's good. What about you?
Looking at a new view of what you're looking at or what's around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you ever look at ways that you can improve, maybe? Improve your actions or your ability to do something that you want to do? It's like your favorite hobby or something, right? You look at ways you could do it better or more often.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But hobby is an expensive fix.
Yeah.
I may have broke some
things. You may have broke some things?
Really expensive something.
Oh, well. It happens, right? Yeah. And what does it mean to you to examine yourself?
Basically what Cassie has said, to just look at yourself in a different view or like step back and really look at what you've done and kind of like think about it.
Yeah.
Something you could be doing better, examining yourself.
Yeah.
Because there might be something that they see that you don't, even if you're like looking from a new perspective at yourself.
That's really a good idea, because other people can see, there's kind of outside the forest that you were talking about, and they can see better maybe what you think you're doing well, but you're missing something, and somebody else can see it better.
And it also needs to be the right person you're asking to, because there can be people who will just use that as an opportunity to make you feel bad about yourself. It just needs to be like the right people too, people you trust and will give you good insight.
That's a good point, because there are some people out there that in order to feel better about themselves, they feel like they have to tear you down instead of getting better themselves to, you know, improve themselves. They want to take and tear you down so that you are at the same level or whatever, if they can tear you up. It's one thing, like at work, my job, every so often we have an evaluation, and my sergeant will take and say, well, you know, this is your assignments, this is what you're doing, this is what your, you know, skills are, but here's something that, you know, you could improve on, and this is how you could improve on it and stuff like that. So that's, you know, help get somebody else to help you examine yourself is a good thing. A part of what I see in here when I see, but let a man examine himself, I think it's like, think about why you're here. Think about why you're about to observe this meal, this communion meal. Why am I doing this? Am I doing this because I want people to see me here? I think a part of doing it is a part of, hey, I'm proud to be a Christian. But it's not something to, you know, put yourself above other people, right? I'm not above anybody. I'm low. I'm a sinner, and God has forgiven me, and I'm here. You know, I'm examining my purpose for celebrating this Lord's Supper, this communion meal, is to celebrate God and celebrate what God did for me, and I'm examining my purpose for doing this act. If I'm, and anything we do, you know, whether it be schoolwork or doing the chores or sharing a conversation with a friend, we're doing that. Why am I doing this? I'm sharing a conversation with a friend because I love this person. I care for this person. I want this person to do better. I don't want to take and hear the animals crying because they haven't been fed. And I want to see them grow and be strong, you know. So I'm going to do my chore, take care of my critters, you know. So we examine ourselves, and we examine, you know, it's not so much about examining myself as examining my actions. Why do I do what I do? Sometimes I do what I do because I'm a sinner. And I'm not perfect. I'm going to make mistakes. But thank goodness I have Christ in my life, and I've been forgiven. And I am going to celebrate Christ by remembering him, by, you know, partaking of the bread and the blood. Oh, excuse me. Oh, who wants to read verse 33 through 34? 33 and 34, that's all.
I can read that.
Okay. Okay. So again, he's going back to eat at the house. You know, have your feast at the house. But when you come together, you wait for one another. Waiting for one another and taking care of one another. That's showing love to each other. And how many times in the Bible, let's see, I thought I had written down some verses here about God. Okay. I'm going to go to James 2. You know, you've got the We got James 2, verses 1 through 4. Yes. Okay, so what does that say to you?
It just, I guess like as humans, we feel the need to pay attention more to people who like look better on the outside, not
right.
really on the inside. Our nature is just to pay attention to what's like cool and what like looks good, but that's not the case in many cases of like how to like judge a person.
Mm-hmm.
And showing partiality is just like unfair in so many ways because it's not, how do I say this? I don't know I can't say what I want to say.
God is not partial, is he? God sees the heart, and that's what we should look for. And that's what we should look for, not in only in other people around us, but in ourselves. Where is my heart? And I want my heart to be aimed in the right direction, right? And not be, you know, I've got a big feast over here, but you don't. Or even, well, I have nothing, but you guys over there are like, ugh, you know, we're not supposed to envy either. Oh, we accept it as it is. Timing done. Okay, we're fine. And then also in James 2, 8 through 9. Can you read that? Okay, that's a kind of reiteration of what we were just, but tell me what that means to you.
We should strive to treat others exactly how we want to be treated and to respect everyone with their God given dignity.
Yeah, love others and, you know, and sometimes it means taking care of others. That's one thing I like about when way we do our lunch, when we do the lunches and during the summer and stuff, we don't have people just bring a meal and, well, we've got our meal, our family here, yeah, just bring it all on a big table and everybody shares. And that's a good thing. We're supposed to all do this together. So, and I think, you know, it boils down to, you know, today we are going to, you know, celebrate the Lord's Supper. And we want to do a little bit of a heart check before we do this. And, you know, think about what Christ has done in your life and why, what reasons we have to celebrate. And I'm going to just, you know, if we just can bow our heads and think about that for a moment and examine yourselves, then we'll go and have communion. So. anybody have anything they want to share about celebrating communion today or your relationship with the Lord? Or you don't have to. I'm just asking before I'm giving you the opportunity. We all good? Okay. Yeah, go ahead and share.